This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zeoli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
Well, Cory Booker is looking for a woman. Yes, Cory Booker wants a woman. He realizes now he needs to have a woman in order to achieve his dream of being president of the United States. A woman running mate. That's right. Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, Spartacus, Count Grandstangela, and the Tears of Rage band, has realized now he needs a woman on the act. He's got to add a woman. So he has pledged now he will have a female running mate.
I hurt.
Yes. He will have a female running mate for president of the United States of America. Couple points on this. Number one, this is more grandstanding from Cory Booker, obviously. But isn't it interesting that in this woke Me Too era, he's suggesting that he has to be the top of the ticket, right? I mean, why should he be the top of the ticket? Why can't the woman be top of the ticket and he become the vice president? What Cory Booker should do, if he's really woke and Me Too'd up and all the other, he should come out and say, I will be a woman's VP. That's right. I, Cory Booker, am grandstanding right now to say I will be your VP only to a woman. I mean, to say that I'll be the top of the ticket is the same patriarchal male blah, blah, blah they always talk about. He's just putting it out there. Ah, the men are still on top, but I'll have a woman as my number two. That's exactly what the feminists hate, don't they? So he's wound up stepping in it today, as Cory Booker often does when he grandstands. He often steps in it almost daily, as a matter of fact, these days, which is great. Because you know what? When you shoot for the moon, if you miss, you still hover above the stars until you come crashing to the earth and leaving a gigantic hole where your now flat body is. But Cory Booker is well aware that he's got to show that he is the most wokest of the woke. And he's had a hard time with this now, you know. He's had a hard time proving his bona fides. So he came out today and said, look, I'll have a woman running mate. All right? That'll be great. And then this way, everybody can know that I am the most progressive candidate. This entire race is governed by what is known as identity politics. The entire presidential primary for the left is all about identity politics. Old male and pale. 2020 Democrats are those things. Old male and pale. They don't want you if you're old. They don't want you if you're male. They don't want you if you're pale. Which is terrible news for Bernie Sanders. He's all of those things. He's old, he's male, and he's pale. And sometimes he's very red in the face, like when the president criticizes socialism right in front of him. And he gets very, very burned up. His face burns. Otherwise, he's very pale. The Vermont sun doesn't really do it for him. You know what I mean? His four houses and their palatial swimming pools. But in the wintertime, it's harder for Bernie to get a little sun. Now, as the party goes more left and they're all trying to outleft each other, Cory Booker says, well, watch me. Here I am. I'm a black man. But I promise you a woman on the ticket. And obviously, the first thing that people say is, what is it with the left always looking at people in boxes and categories? You're either a man or a woman. You're black or you're white. Or you identify as neither. You're not a man or a woman, actually. There's a third category, of course. There's like 18 categories, maybe more. So you're not even that, necessarily. Are you straight? Are you gay? Are you this? Are you that? It's all about identity politics with them. And the problem for them is that in this field, as they keep going more and more diverse to show they're the most diverse of all the candidates, they wind up dealing with a very, very tough reality. You have some real haters in your party. You got some real ugly, ugly haters in your party, like Representative Ilhan Omar. Now, the newest thing with this woman who came back with her comments about Jews and money, the newest thing for this anti-Semite is to have people defend her on the basis that she's only getting attacked because she's Muslim. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what the lesser Cuomo was saying last night. She's only being attacked because she's Muslim. What she said is completely, completely appropriate. No, it's not. It's awful. What she said was awful. But then again, because she wears a hijab and she's diverse, the Democratic Party will rally around her. Last night on television, Chris Cuomo, asked why Trump's bigotry is treated differently than Ilhan Omar's. And then he asked the stupid question, is it because she's Muslim? Let's break that down for a second here. Ilhan Omar suggested that Jewish money is running the world, basically. This is the same tired stereotype that anti-Semites have used forever. You know, she didn't come out and say, you know, I'm really not sure we should be in Syria anymore because I understand, you know, it's very important to Israel for theirs. No, she literally said we're controlled by money. See, that is the stereotype of anti-Semitism. The Jews have all the cash and the Jews control everybody with their money. Now, Donald Trump, in addition, of course, to having a son-in-law who's Jewish and a daughter who converted and Orthodox grandkids who are Jewish. In addition to all that, though, this notion that he's a bigot is something the left throws out there all the time with no evidence, by the way, no evidence of anything. The fact that when the president comes out and says anything, they now take it out of context. So Cuomo pointed out that Trump once made comments that he says are very similar to what Omar said. Quote, you're not going to support me because I don't want your money. He told that to the Republican Jewish Coalition in 2015. You want to control your own politicians. Now, Cuomo's asking why that's different. Well, let me tell you why it's different, moron. Because Donald Trump has done more for Israel, and this is Netanyahu's own words, than any other president. I mean, Donald Trump has done more for Israel just by moving the embassy to Jerusalem. It's very obvious he's done more for Israel. Now, you, Omar, literally said that Israel had hypnotized the world. Let's think about this side by side for a second. The president said to this group, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. You're not going to support me because I don't want your money? Fine. You want to control your own politicians? Fine. And they say, oh, you're anti-Semite. Then he moves the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, I had lunch yesterday with a very good friend of mine who is a very religious guy, Jewish, served in the military in Israel, served in the Mossad, actually. And I asked him, I said, what did it mean to you for the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem? He said it meant everything. It meant everything. Long overdue. Had to be done. I dare you. I challenge you to find a president who's been more helpful, supportive to the Jewish state than Donald Trump. See, that's the difference. It's not a matter of taking a couple of words out of context. You see, this is the game the left plays, and they play this all the time, and it makes me sick. They'll go, oh, well, he said this. It's not a matter of a couple of words out of context. It is a broader picture of a human being. You add up all the things that Omar has done, that Representative Omar has said. You add all of them up, not just a slip of the tongue. You understand a profile of a person who is radically anti-Semitic. And then you look at the profile of Donald Trump and you look at his support for Israel and you look at the fact that that he's endorsed by a number of groups who are Republican and also Jewish. And you say, well, then how can the two be the same? How can he be anti-Semitic and also be called Israel's no greater president? Israel's never had a better friend than this president. How is that possible? How is it possible? It can't be. In other words, you can't be anti-Semitic and then have Benjamin Netanyahu turn around and go, this guy's the best. This guy's the best. Now, Representative Omar is a person who doesn't believe the Jewish state has a right to exist. There are a number of people on the left who believe that, by the way, that the Palestinians should be over there, that the Israeli state, Israel is now it's a fake state and it is white imperialism that put it there and that the Palestinians should have their country. And the Jews should leave. This is the kind of stuff that they promulgate. That's why she's anti-Semitic, not because of a line, Cuomo. This guy is such a dummy, this Chris Cuomo. He really is. He's such a dummy. Not as dangerous as his brother with his late-term abortion nonsense, but he's a dummy, Cuomo. And he's got a radio show now, too, on Sirius XM POTUS, which nobody listens to, thank God. But nobody's going after Representative Omar because of one tweet. But that's what the left does. I've had this, too. I've had people tweet at me in this and go, what about the time said Trump did this? Somebody in the audience yesterday, some pompous ass tweeted that at me. Now do Trump. And he puts Trump's comment. OK, so again, if that comment and then a broader binder of evidence showing anti-Semitism, then you can say, yeah, the person's anti-Semitic. Yeah, the person is somebody who doesn't believe that, say, Jews are equal to everybody else. But you can't take one comment and go, ah, gotcha. We don't do that, though. They do that. They do that all the time. The left does that all the time. And they'll take a word, a phrase, whatever, and then they'll say, this now defines a person. We're not doing that. They talk about the president's bigotry. What bigotry? What bigotry is there for the president is my question. What evidence is there for the left to point out that Donald Trump does not believe that Israel should exist? Or that Donald Trump sides... In fact, if anything, you could argue that Trump is too pro-Israel. You can make that argument, which some people have made, by the way. And they worry that we might go to war with Iran over the fact that the president is so pro-Israel that we might wind up in a shooting war with Iran over that fact. But again, that's not anti-Semitism. You can't be anti-Semitic and have that viewpoint. Now, there are anti-Semites in the Middle East, obviously. I mean, Iran wants to destroy Israel. We know that. The Palestinians want to destroy Israel. There's a number of people in that region who hate the Jewish state and they want it to be completely taken away. So if you are the president and you're anti-Semitic, why would you then become the greatest friend Israel's ever had? It makes no sense. But this is the problem with what happens with the left. They take little things here and there out of context and then they just completely ignore the actual evidence of support for Israel. And they do this all the time. They do this constantly. And I'll tell you that there are legitimate concerns about, for example, John Bolton as the national security guy right there in the president's ear. Very, very pro on doing something about the Iran situation. That's Bolton's thing, pushing that. And a big part of that, of course, is the danger that Iran poses to the state of Israel. So I, you know, Representative Omar, in that context, ask her if she were president, who do you think she'd be siding with in these situations? Really? If Representative Omar were president, do you think that the Israelis would say we have no greater friend than this president in the White House? Do you think that she'd go down and pray at the Wailing Wall? Do you think that she would be in favor of following U.S. law and moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the actual capital of Israel? Do you think any of those things would happen? So you take context, specifics, you put it together into a profile and you go, this woman is filled with absolute hate for certain people who are Jewish, and probably all of them who are Jewish. And it's not because she's Muslim. She's been criticized by, for example, a guy named Zudi Jasser, Dr. Zudi Jasser, a great guy, a terrific guy, one of the best people I've ever met. He is a Muslim who is a guy who's trying to reform the Islamic faith to no longer be political. You've probably heard Zudi Jasser. He's been on with Hannity before on his show and other. He's been criticizing Representative Omar as well because she is, at the end of the day, she is a political Muslim. She wants to use her politics and her faith intertwined. And that's what she was tipping off the other day in her little Twitter meltdown. And for the Democrats on the national stage, this is a real problem for them, of course, as they try to be woke because they want to have her in their ranks, but they're also realizing what a liability she is. And then when you've got this nut job, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeting out and saying, now, the only reason they're being mean to her is because she's Muslim. And you go, oh, my God, what is with these people? And you realize now for Cory Booker, hey, Booker, would that be your running mate? Why not get Representative Omar as your running mate? Huh? You could have the first Muslim woman as vice president of the United States. Why not do it? I dare you. I'd double dog dare you, Cory Booker. I dare you to ask her to be your running mate. Please do it. I beg of you. That's the real diversity we need in this country. We need that. So I'm asking for Booker Omar 2020. Will Cory Booker do it? Will Count grandstand enough to say not only a woman, a Muslim woman, given all her comments about Israel and about Jews? That's my question and my challenge to Count Grandstandula Spartacus, Cory Booker, and the Tears of Rage band. Please, sir, if you're going to grandstand, go all the way. Not just any woman, this vile woman, as your running mate. What do you say? I'll give you an example here, you know, and this is a thing. When I find these issues particularly perplexing with the Democrats and their identity politics, Joel Pollack over at Breitbart wrote a good piece on this. Local Jewish leaders staged an intervention with Ilhan Omar in 2018, and they were very troubled by the answers they received. See, on the one hand, you have Democratic candidates running for president, Cory Booker and all of them, and they're all trying to say, you know, I'm the most woke and I'm the most this and I'm the most that. And in their ranks now, they have some very, very vile people and they don't know what to do with it. They just don't know how to react because they're afraid of their base. And you see how the base rallies around Representative Omar. And they're acting like, oh, it's a one-off, what her comments were regarding Jewish money controlling everything. Now, she tweeted out about the president. She said, "You have trafficked in hate your whole life against Jews, Muslims, indigenous immigrants, black people, and more." I want to know where the evidence is for any of that, by the way. I would really like to know where the evidence is. She says, "I learn from people impacted by my words. When will you?" Because the president called her apology lame, and it was lame. But an article in a local Minneapolis-St. Paul newspaper reported Tuesday that Jewish leaders in Minnesota had spoken to Omar about her views last year and that she failed to learn anything. Last year, before she was elected to the House of Representatives, before she emerged from a crowded Democratic field in Minnesota's liberal 5th Congressional District, leaders of Minneapolis's Jewish community fashioned what could be described as an anti-Semitic intervention of Omar. A rising star of the left whose remarks had made many fellow Democrats in the Jewish community uncomfortable. Last year, State Senator Ron Latz, a St. Louis Park Democrat who has served in the legislature since 2002, invited Omar to his house, where a number of Jewish leaders had gathered. It wasn't an ambush. Omar knew that group was there, and their purpose was to enlighten her. This is what the former senator, or currently senator, excuse me, senator said, a Democrat, quote, "Over the course of about 2 hours, we shared with her our concerns for things, including language that has references and meanings beyond just the meanings of words, tropes, dog whistles, call them what you will. We explained to her how hurtful and factually inaccurate they were." This is last year, by the way. This is last year. "Most of us came out of that conversation very troubled by the answers we received. I was not convinced she was going to give a balanced approach to policy in the Middle East, and I was not convinced where her heart is on these things." By the way, the president is speaking. We'll monitor this for you. Right now, he's just thanking a lot of people. As of Wednesday morning, Omar has not deleted any of her anti-Semitic tweets from Sunday that led her to have to apologize Monday. Nor had she deleted an anti-Semitic tweet from 2012 that had prompted local Jewish leaders to intervene, in which she declared, quote, "Israel has hypnotized the world." Latz told the Pioneer Press, quote, "At some point it becomes a little tired to hear her say she's being educated." He added that the time had passed to keep treating Omar with kid gloves. Huh? That is exactly what I mean in terms of the hatred on the left. And you can point it out. You can actually show it. Show it, and you can identify it and define it. And then you think of the state of Israel, and you think about Israel in the context of foreign policy. And all these guys wanted from her was they wanted balance in terms of her approach, that she was going to be balanced as she viewed Israel in the context of U.S. foreign policy. She is on the Foreign Policy Committee. You know, I've heard so many of these idiots come out and talk about Representative Steve King. Representative Omar is on the House Foreign, she's on the Foreign Policy Committee, Foreign Affairs Committee, I should say, excuse me. This committee deals with foreign policy. And this committee, by the way, is very important to all of us who deal with watching the events that concern the world. And world events that have to do with, you know, things like war, for example. And her hatred for a country makes her ineligible to be on that committee. That's the point. That's the point that people don't understand. A, Steve King was kicked off his committees, but B, the committees that she's on deal with foreign policy. That is the problem. Now, she snapped at a reporter for asking questions about the AIPAC controversy. It's getting to her, as you can imagine. It's getting to her. Over at Breitbart, writing in, Joshua Kaplan. Representative Omar on Wednesday snapped at Capitol Hill reporters when asked about her controversial statements regarding the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Asked about her thoughts on President Trump calling on her to resign from Congress, she said, "No, thank you." Pressed for a comment a second time by CNN congressional reporter Manu Raju, the Minnesota Democrat replied angrily, "Are you serious? What's wrong with you?" Raju then asked the freshman congressman about her Wednesday morning tweet in which she accused the president of trafficking in hate. She said, "Yes, I tweeted that, and there's a response. You can run that. Have a nice day," she said, while walking into a meeting. Under pressure from Democrat and Republican leaders, Omar apologized on Monday for tweets suggesting AIPAC bribes Republican members of Congress who support Israel. Because she had pressure to do it, by the way. She was under pressure. However, Omar concluded her statement with yet another shot at AIPAC, referring to its role in U.S. politics as problematic. Ahead of a Tuesday cabinet meeting at the White House, President Trump told reporters that he believes Omar should resign from the House Foreign Affairs Committee or from Congress. Yeah, considering that, at the very least, her committee, without question, considering what she does, considering foreign affairs, foreign policy, and here she is putting major bias against one of the U.S.'s key allies. And not in an objective way, not in an objective way, not in a way that says, hey, we have to balance U.S. interests with Israeli interests, and we've got to balance the two in terms of making sure that we're not overextending ourselves. And no. This is a Israel has hypnotized the world, and the Palestinians deserve to live there. And does Israel even have a right to exist? Kind of a thing. It's vile. And you should understand, too, that when the left talks about all their identity politics, she's one of them. She's a Muslim woman. And she's very proud of that fact, and she's running around reminding people of that fact. And now they're using it as she's the victim because she is a Muslim woman. She's a Muslim woman, so she's the victim in all this now. Ah, amazing. And yet, how many of these Democrats have called on her to drop out of Congress or resign from her committees? None. None of them. Because they're terrified of their base. And this is going to blow up for them. You watch. I'm telling you right now, this is coming to a point where Jewish people in this country who vote Democrat have to ask themselves a question. Actually, this is a question that my friend who was in the Mossad asked me yesterday at lunch. He said, when I tell my friends who are Jewish, my fellow Jews, he said, I ask them all the time, how can you vote for these people? How can you be part of this party? How can you support a party that openly has anti-Semites in their ranks? How can you do it? And their answer is always, they never really have an answer. But you notice what the left does. Instead of actually examining their own statements and policies, they turn around and go, yeah, but Trump. Yeah, but Trump. But Trump. But Trump what? But Trump what? And they can never answer that point. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Well, the president is speaking today. Most likely, the rumor is he's going to sign the agreement to keep the government open. Well, of course, we'll follow that for you. And if he does that, we'll take it live for you without question. Let me just play this for you. This is CNN's John Berman. Trump calling out Representative Ilhan Omar is ready. Go for it. Cut six.
But it's interesting, Frank, that when the president criticizes Omar for this, for talking about Jewish money, it's an example of the pot calling the kettle anti-Semite.
Well, it's a total double standard. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned one. The president has retweeted people who come from anti-Semitic organizations. And let us not forget that in Charlottesville, some of those marchers who, according to the president, included very fine people on both sides, were saying Jews will not replace us, right? So Donald Trump has a lot to answer for in this regard. He has consistently encouraged people who engage in anti-Semitism.
It's a little hard to give him the moral high ground here. And the idea that they're trying to take the moral high ground is insulting.
Yeah, I mean, the president can't help himself but to engage on something that he believes hurts Democrats, divides Democrats.
Netanyahu campaigns on cozy friendship with Trump ahead of Israel's April election. This is from Fox News. With a cloud of corruption hanging over Benjamin Netanyahu, charges swirling around him, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is holding his cozy relationship with President Trump up to everybody to show that that should be one of the issues they consider. Netanyahu's party has erected two huge billboards on major highways in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv that show him and Trump smiling, clasping hands, and touting Netanyahu as being a league apart from his political views. Obviously, as you understand it, most Jewish prime ministers running for re-election would like to put a billboard up of them with an anti-Semite. Clearly, that is a political genius move. It's a win. It is a win. Clearly now, Netanyahu thinks, what I need to do is put several billboards up of me with an anti-Semite. That will get the Jewish people to vote for me again as their prime minister of the Jewish state. These people in the media are frauds, and this perpetual nonsense that they back up, you can absolutely refute it with facts, and you don't need a greater fact than that. The prime minister of the Jewish state putting Donald Trump in billboards with him around Israel as he campaigns for re-election.
CLE 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.